The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember seeing, just keep it up in the background, too, crew, seeing this movie at a time when there was a lot of crap happened in my life and something really, really good in my life. And I just found the movie so charming, so sweet, and his voice just beautiful. You know, The Swell Season. And he previously had been with The Frames, a known influential Irish band. And if you're paying attention, they had success. But I just thought he would have more and then forget the damn career success. He's got a child, not old at all. He's on a motorcycle and he's 56. And again, it's just another reminder. And we have these too much. We just were talking about the other day with John Anderson. The fragility of life. It's your partner, it's your son, it's your colleague, it's your coworker, it's you see in front of you. And all of a sudden, you're living your life. He's got, who knows, decades more to live, and he's gone. And it is, I can't imagine how hard it is for people to know him. I'm just somebody who, I've listened to that song so many damn times. I can't even tell you. And Falling Slowly is beautiful. And when he would appear with other people. And, I mean, when you can hang with Eddie Vedder, when you can go back and forth with Bono, when you can sing with Bruce, and that voice is so distinctive. There was a funeral a couple of years ago where he sang at that, and it was just mesmerizing. And I bring this up because that movie meant something to me, still does. It's just so hard to watch when someone so young passes away. Doesn't compare, when you're just a fan, doesn't compare anyway when it's a family member. But it's also for me, I thought of, who are other people that mean something to you in music? And they haven't really caught on, and you're surprised by it, but it doesn't change how much you enjoy them. We play a couple here. We start with Nika Costa. And I saw Nika Costa in concert twice. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was three times. Unbelievable. And that song at the start of our show, I mean, she has got it. And she had a few songs that really kicked in. And, you know, in concert, you see her and she just grabs you. And I thought, here we go. Here's another star. And I still love her stuff and it doesn't change my enjoyment level. But I thought, wow. And then 1 o'clock hour, same thing. Robert Randolph and the Family Band. Probably five times with those guys. First time, Brian Oak told me, goes, are you going to the Basilica? And I go, probably not. And Oak and I knew each other well at the time. He goes, you got to go to see this band that I know you'll really like. And seeing him on the steel guitar, I was like, who in the heck is this? And there's a reason why we played those two, right? We also played the Foo Fighters, right? So it's not just, hey, bands that haven't hit it. But who else do you have? And I want to hear from you too, Chris, but text me. Who else do you have where you think, man, I love this group or this act? And you're like, what's with the music industry? Why didn't they become more well-known, more successful? Because if it's somebody you want more of, I wanted even more of Glenn Hanson. And now it's hollow saying that because he's left us on a motorcycle accident at 56. We just were talking motorcycle safety yesterday, Chris. And Robert Randolph and the Family Band, I follow him on Twitter just for his crazy Nick takes. I don't see him out there. And same with Nika. Does somebody come to mind for you, Chris?
We saw this guy back at the Blue Note in Columbia years ago. Entertaining, fantastic piano player. I'm like, who is this Ben Folds guy? And then I know he's kind of gotten some notoriety, but I don't know that he has maybe gotten the attention that he deserved. Maybe that's not exactly part of the conversation, but I look at a guy like Ben Folds, who's very engaging, entertaining, fantastic artist, and just knows how to get people's attention and keep them enthused for the entirety of his performance. So much so that my wife and I took his song, The Luckiest, and that was our wedding song. And that was kind of our homage to Ben Folds because we had enjoyed his performance so much.
Texter, saw Glenn Hansard at Northrop years ago. Brilliant artist, horrible loss. I was there. At least I was there one time at Northrop when I saw him. And his likability, too, is off the charts. And the one I have on Twitter of When Your Mind's Made Up, it's actually an NPR. And it's in the studio. Letterman used to turn their stage over to artists. And he was one of them. They did it. I don't know if they did it for any huge artist. Maybe they did. I honestly don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember seeing a few people, including Glenn, and it was great because you think about that Ed Sullivan Theater and all the music was there.
The history, yeah. And I think you find out who the true artists are when you get into an atmosphere like that and an environment like that.
Yeah.
When it's not synthesized, it's not overproduced, it's them, their instrument, and they are just performing for a very, very small crowd.
Somebody said, I thought you said we're going to have fun this segment. This is depressing. Yeah, I did think I was going to have fun, but then I thought, I knew I wanted to work in Glenn at some point. I thought, okay, I need to work it in here because I want to hear what other people have to say, especially if you connected somehow with Glenn Hansard. It's got to be on some streaming service. It's going to be in, whether it's today or tomorrow, I'm going to watch once again. Because it's just a beautiful love story, you know, and it's also, you know, as they're trying to make themselves in to this group, and it was about their life, right? Wilco singer Jeff Tweedy. Great success, Texter says. Not as much as you think. Also, the band Crowded House. Gaslight Anthem. Hands down, don't know. The Gear Daddies. Okay. Gear Daddies in the area for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't have a lot of, did they have a lot of national?
I don't think they did. I think they're definitely more of a regional thing. And I can understand Wilco too. I do like Wilco. I feel like Crowded House is kind of that's more mainstream, right?
I think so. Yeah. Although I feel like I know like two Crowded House songs.
Don't Dream It's Over?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's one other one that if I heard, I'd be going, yeah, that's it. But that'll tell you how much they resonate with me because I'm going to go, oh, yeah, That was it. Melody Club, a Swedish band, saw them for the first time last year. The kickoff of the reunion tour is emotional. So it was a mess at the end. Local band called Chameleon featured Johnny. Just couldn't understand why they couldn't make it. Richie Kotzen, solo with the band The Winery Dogs. Fabulous singer, guitar player, and songwriter. Kimmy Dawson, the song Walk Like Thunder. Look it up and have a good cry. Yeah, maybe some of it, too, is some of these artists have that emotional connection. That's what hits you even harder.
Yes, 100%. Right?
But if it's somebody who brings you more the fun, entertaining songs, and they die in a motorcycle accident at 56, I think that still hits you, too. Yeah, so check out Glenn Hansard. I think most of us know this, but the Tribune story amplified it in one way. We're terrible drivers. Let's talk about it when we come back.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
We should be testing people at different times throughout their life to maintain a driver's license. It shouldn't just be, I don't know, you're 16, but Cody overrated, by the way, just a side note. 16, 17, whenever you pass, and you're good for the rest of your life. Nope. Mm-mm. Every 10 years, you should have to take the test.
Yes.
Just go on the roads and see the ineptitude on a regular basis. We're flawless here on the show, so it's not an issue for us. They'd waive us. But
that's why I want to work the show, is because I know that I get a pass for being associated with Chad Hartman.
There's bonding with a fellow flawless driver.
Absolutely.
Every 10 years, you have to take it. Why not? You're not guaranteed. You pass the test, and then 50 years later, yeah, I passed the test 50 years ago. I should be allowed to drive. No. Every 10 years. And we know without any hesitation it should be, I don't know, whatever age we come up with. Is it 50? Is it 60? Is it 70? Where, without a doubt, it's, and then it gets to like every, I don't know if it's every 5 years or every 2 years you got to take it. But guess why politicians don't do that? Because the older individuals vote and the politicians are cowards. They're afraid of them.
Heaven forbid they do something that might limit what they can do, something that might work against them. Gasp.
Nearly 40% of those taking the driver's test need two or more attempts to pass. It's not that hard. It really isn't that hard. A lot of people, part of the reason why they fail is because if you're, you know, 19 on, you don't have to take the driver's ed class. Anybody who's trying to get their license, you're 770 years old, whatever age, you have to take some driver's ed. Mm-hmm. New policy with me. There has been, Tribune story, 24% increase in serious crashes the last 5 years. 61% last year of people who end up taking the driver's test passed, the lowest in 6 years. 61%? How bad are you? I mean, stay on the right side of the road. There's a stop sign. Do reasonably well parallel parking. Don't do something egregious.
And the behind the wheel now. Like, my 16-year-old just got her license a month ago. And she was behind the wheel for all of maybe 10 minutes. And she came back. She's like, yeah, I passed. No problem. And she was like worried that she wasn't going to pass. And we're like, oh, because I mean, it took me, I think, two times to pass it. But to hear those numbers, like that's, how can you fail it so many times?
How often should we test people? And what do you want to say about how awful people are at taking this test? 651-461-9226. Text her, because this is the valid question. Are you going to pay for the extra 1,000 driving examiners needed for your plan? Yeah, I am, because every 10 years, everybody has to take the test. And it's going to cost you money. And another comeback might be, well, I need my car for my job. Well, then don't be a detriment. Don't be a danger on the road. Okay, I want you to work. I want you to be a part of it. Capitalism, succeed, flourish, you name it. I don't want to fear for the roads when you're on it. This isn't just this automatic. And, you know, let's be honest. In this town, light rail has been a colossal failure. So we can sit here and say, well, 5 years from now, 10 years, 15, 20 years from now, we won't need cars as much. That sounds good. I need to see it. I need to see it because, oh, goody, Southwest Light Rail. We might get another announcement coming up in a month or two. Well, we don't have as many people working downtown. That's clear. When are we going to get Waymo that people trust in winter driving? It's winter here, 18 months a year. So I would get...
That seems low.
That seems exact. Well, to some, it was tempting the last 10 days. Where's a good blizzard when you need it? But I'd get into Waymo today in a second. Would you? I would have zero hesitation.
I still have hesitation, but I'm starting to warm up to it. The thought of having an autonomous vehicle with no human control, I'm still a little skittish.
Okay. You're with Blaine. I'm in. How many people right now, though, if they were available, would get in a Waymo the morning after a snowstorm where we had some ice? How do you feel about that one? So my point on light rail not working as well, Waymo in our weather, and I get a lot of people still are working from home. Shockingly, cars are still going to matter. And we need to be testing people more. Plenty of texts coming in. If someone fails the test more than twice, mandatory classes and behind the wheel before the next test. Well, the story does point out this texter is in the area. And I have no problem with that, by the way. You fail twice, you have to do more. Right now, it's if you fail four times, you have to go behind the wheel for 6 hours. I have no problem if it's two. Do you?
No. Either way, you have to go. You got to work a little bit harder to make sure that you can earn it instead of just be like, well, I failed. I'll just keep trying. I'll keep doing the same thing again. Just barely pass, and then you forget everything that you learned.
Chad, it's not because people are failing the test. Most of the accidents are from distracted driving. Give people a break. Oh, I mean, we have talked distracted driving like every other talk show host on the planet, not owning it, distracted driving, right? But I'm also saying, along with it, take a damn test every 10 years. And I do think it's stunning, the failure rate. More text, 651-461-9226. Who decided we don't need the course first? A car is considered a weapon. If you kill someone with it, it seems like a course should be the minimum. You're right. Chad, don't make me seem like a racist, but don't we have a large amount of individuals coming who may not know the language? You should not be allowed to drive if you don't understand all what the road signs are all about, without a doubt. Some level of knowledge of the English language of stop, yield, the other aspects. That's not being racist at all. That's just being, hey, we're all in this shared situation. Does 61% surprise you? Have you been on roads? Horrible drivers here. I think I said that right from the get-go.
Yes, you did.
I'm surprised insurance companies aren't demanding this more. Taking an actual behind-the-wheel driving test or the book exam every 10 years seems like a reasonable thing to do. This texter, I'd have no hesitation getting away off a snowstorm. I'd do that any day before driving my sister or brother-in-law. That is fair. I've had those people in my life also. Major Garrett is with us in moments on CCO. A reminder, none of that, absolutely none of that was taken out of context. All of those were accurate comments from our friend Major. All right, I can't even guess how many times you have interviewed Anthony Fauci over the years. We get the information, whether people want to call it a diary, they want to call him documenting his life, all that comes out. Rand Paul clearly has been pursuing information regarding Tony Fauci for a long time. They've had some testy encounters. Then today, he invokes the Fifth over 100-some times. Republicans were feasting upon him. You know this story well. Where today does Dr. Fauci look at his worst, considering what has been revealed the last few days?
So invoking the Fifth carries a kind of whiff of presumptive guilt. It shouldn't, but it does, particularly in a public space. And when you've been given a pardon, as Anthony Fauci has, by Joe Biden on his last day of his presidency, that covers from 2014 to the last day of the Biden presidency, meaning you can't be prosecuted for anything you did in all those in between years, and you don't ask questions about what you did during some of those times, it creates a whiff of suspicion. And Republicans pounced on that so aggressively. And what I found interesting in the hearing, and we're going to have Rand Paul on the takeout at the top of the hour at 5
Great.
O'clock Eastern.
Excellent.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
He was, in contrast to his early interactions with Dr. Fauci, I wouldn't say mellow, but he was less prone to villainize Dr. Fauci than some of his Republican colleagues. Bernie Moreno, Republican from Ohio, by the way, running for re-election.
Shocking.
Dropped the big F-bomb, you know, to be really super muscular and show his street cred about his outrage. Josh Hawley, very aggressive. Joni Ernst, very aggressive. Rick Scott of Florida, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, all of them super aggressive, portraying Fauci as something akin to a monster in COVID. And I've already written the top of my show, and I just try to remind people whenever I bring up the topic of COVID and its origins and all the things that happened, yes, things were locked down probably in some instances longer than they should have. And people were separated on the edge of death in ways that were deeply uncomfortable and that might not have been the wisest thing. Children suffered academically. Businesses suffered. All of that is true. But also, lives were saved. Families were kept whole. Vaccines were created, distributed, and many successes were achieved in tandem with failures. This is the actual lived, complicated history of COVID. What there is now is this origin story compulsion Republicans have about well, you may have known more than you disclosed at the times about the potential origins, and if you had only told the public that then, none of these other mistakes would have been made, which is a completely incredible argument, meaning it lacks credibility. It's fantastical, okay? If you're looking for a villain in COVID, why don't you talk more? I ask this of Republicans all the time. I ask this of Ron Johnson 2 nights ago on my show. I'll ask it of Rand Paul. Why don't you ask more or do more or sanction more the Chinese government, which is the one that had the substandard health safety standard.
Very fair.
The Institute of Virology in Wuhan. They destroyed everything at the nearby wet market, killed everything, destroying all traceable evidence. And they arrested people who were originally infected. And then they died in prison. So we don't know anything about them. Why aren't they a villain, or if not the bigger villain in all this? But no, it's Fauci. Fauci was on the takeout in its original long-form podcast 5 times, more than anyone else. The first time was long before COVID, when we were meeting him as someone who had been crucial in dealing with AIDS and infectious diseases and various flus and all that other stuff.
Honored by Ronald Reagan, honored by George W. Bush, right?
Right. Then 4 times during COVID, and I asked him about the lab origin theory. I asked him about gain-of-function research. Fauci always gave his answers. Today, he's like, no, I'm not going to answer anything because what I fear is this is a trap. I'm going to say something. You're going to say I'm a liar, and you're going to tell the Justice Department, prosecute him for lying to Congress, whether I have or haven't. And I'm going to have to face that. So I said, he just basically said, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to answer any of your questions. And you're going to have to try to find me in contempt, which is an avenue that I guarantee I'll ask Senator Rand Paul about, if that's something they can make stick. And if there is some necessary hunger that this administration, Republicans writ large, have about prosecuting Anthony Fauci before they let COVID go. I don't know if that's where they are, but it looks like that's where they're heading.
I will be listening to Takeout. I encourage everyone to listen to Takeout. What is your first question for Rand Paul?
So he said in the course of the hearing today, there will be a meeting next week on the committee to hold him in contempt. Contempt for what reasons? Do you hand that over to the Justice Department? And therefore, do you expect, because he didn't answer questions and invoke the Fifth today, meaning invoked his constitutional right, you find that a prosecutable crime? That's first question.
Yep.
Then the second ones will be about, there is a scientific debate about what gain-of-function research actually means.
And that's where they've had some of their most testy back and forth in previous hearings.
Dr. Fauci has one definition. Dr. Paul, Rand Paul, a senator from Kentucky, has a different definition. And many medical professionals have said, look, that's sort of beside the point. What we need to do is define what we mean by that and then create much stricter safeguards that are internationally enforceable. And if the United States doesn't want to leave it to the international enforceability, do it ourselves so we understand what this research is and isn't, what its dangers are and aren't, so we can improve the probability that we will not have to go through something like this again, at least for that type of research and those kinds of possibilities.
Let's not forget, too, the president, who put out comments on Truth Social, then during the show was critical of him also. The president not only believes he won in 2020, but he's right in thinking if COVID does not occur, he has a much better chance of winning. In fact, I think he wins, but that's just conjecture in my opinion.
He certainly has a much better chance. And that is not the second in a series of 3 black swan presidential elections.
Yeah, right. And so he blames Fauci. So this is a Justice Department that if you're in the ire of if the boss is bothered by you, they pursue you. The track record is pretty clear.
There's a parallel story going on right now, Chad, about the future Attorney General of the United States of America, Todd Blanche. It's hung up right now. Because the Justice Department will not do what Todd Blanche in his confirmation hearing testified he was willing to do, which is get rid of the weaponization fund and dramatically tighten up so it applies to the Trump family and Trump himself the way it would apply to any other taxpayer, this grand blanket of no audits for past behavior in all sorts of different directions. 2 Republicans and senators said, if you want to confirm this guy, Write this stuff down. Department of Justice hasn't done it yet. Why? Because they're afraid that Trump will be angry with them if they do that.
Correct. And, I mean, the idea that the Trump family would be immune in perpetuity is staggering and should never, ever even be considered.
It's not in perpetuity, but it's up until the time of the settlement. Everything
yeah.
goes back retrospectively,
right. Right.
meaning things that haven't even been discovered or looked into.
Correct. Yeah. That. Yeah,
why do they
correct.
Need it?
Right.
Why do they need that?
Now, John
no.
Cornyn, who's been a little bit more bold on this, mm-hmm. if John wins that primary, and he's still eligible to be a senator going forward for the next 6 years. Is he as bold as he is with Todd Blanche right now?
No,
zero
no,
chance.
No. He's in his aggrieved, you only lived once, Republican
YOLO
phase of life. He's all YOLO, man.
Yes, he is. Okay, Iran, the president.
Yeah.
President's got a lot going on, right? I mean, he's meeting with Bibi Netanyahu yesterday. He's meeting with Zelensky. Iran attempts an attack.
He just spent an hour with reporters talking about a remodeled Dulles airport, which he's.
I mean, that's a little ahead of Iran for me. I've not landed there as much as you, but let's get Dulles up to speed for sure. He's rather clear with Fox News on we're going to hit him. You know what?
Yeah.
So
F
is
an
he,
S?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is he guaranteeing it tonight that this is going to be big against Iran?
Who knows? I mean, guarantees, what are they worth in this particular
yeah.
conflict? Less and less and less. And Bibi Netanyahu says the meeting was great. The White House has said nothing about the meeting. And that sort of describes or gives an insight to an unspoken insight into some of the difficulties in relationship right now between Netanyahu and the president, because Netanyahu keeps pressing President Trump to finish the job. What does that mean? Well, that means regime change, troops on the ground, go in, get the fissile material, dislodge all of the regime, and then take over Iran in some form or fashion.
Sure.
Well, that's not going to happen. Trump's never going to do that.
Yeah.
And we should remind ourselves, in the Iran-Iraq war, Iran sustained 1 million casualties before that war ended.
They don't care if their citizens are killed. Leadership doesn't
care.
They don't. Yeah.
They don't.
And so it's hard to negotiate with them.
And when you don't care about the economic or actuarial future of your people, meaning what they can afford, what their style of living is, or whether they live or die, if you don't care about those two things, you can be an opponent that's good at being bombed. And that's what the North Vietnamese were in the Vietnam War. They were very good at being bombed. So for a long time was the Taliban. I would just point out, how did Vietnam and Afghanistan work out for us?
Yeah.
Opponents that are very good at being bombed are hard to defeat.
We have spent, we the taxpayers, and then whether you go back to as far back any president as you want, just extraordinary sums of money for our military supplies. And when the president talks about, well, Vietnam went this long and, Iraq went this long in Afghanistan, and I read these accounts from credible outlets about our military supply shortage
mm-hmm.
and that playing a part potentially in decision-making, I find mm-hmm. that extraordinarily troubling, excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the munitions issue is real. Now, the president keeps saying we have all we need. That's fine. Don't worry about it. But in testimony last week, the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, told the Senate, we need this $90 billion right away in order to pay our troops, backfill operations and maintenance, and acquire necessary munitions. And it doesn't appear, Chad, that the Senate is going to get that work done until sometime in mid-September. Well, that's going to be pressing up against some pretty hairy deadlines.
Yeah.
Our Pentagon reporters tell us that operationally, this is going to be harder and harder to sustain. And sometimes these pauses are as much about that as they are some other strategic approach.
At some point today, when you're done, spend a little bit of time listening to Glenn Hansard and his beautiful
okay.
voice. Who left us today, a motorcycle accident at 56. You'll appreciate the talent he brings to it. It's sad somebody left us that soon.
Would I be familiar with his work?
The movie Once won an Oscar for that.
Okay.
He's kind of the, I talked about this earlier, he's somebody for me who I loved and just was shocked that he did not become more mainstream popular. But you can look what YouTube, what Bono said about him, what Springsteen said about him, what Eddie Vedder said about him. Just massive respect from Spears.
Right after the show.
Check it out, man. All right, be well.
I will, man.
We'll talk next week.
See ya.
The great Major Garrett right here on CCO. This will be the final piece of music played Sunday, SummerSlam, when their meal ticket comes out. The Tribal Chief.
I thought you were going to acknowledge Jason DeRussia.
Is Jason DeRussia our Tribal Chief?
He is our,
Tribal Chief. And am I our Seth Rollins?
You're going to burn it down, baby.
Yeah, burn it down.
Actually, you're going to work for like a week, and then you're going to suffer a knee injury, and then we're not going to see you for 6 months.
Oh, so you think Seth is going to win this because Roman's going to take time off? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I think Roman wins.
I think
Roman wins.
Yeah, the way they've set it up, Roman's going to win. What are the chances
anybody even talking about here?
What is the chance you would go to SummerSlam, DeRussia?
Oh, 10 out of 10.
You're a FOMO guy. You don't want to miss out.
And as a youngster, I mean, I loved wrestling.
Who are your guys growing up?
Well, I wanted to be Mean Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, of course you did.
Right?
Yeah.
Gene had a way with the ladies, so, I mean, it makes sense.
Excuse me?
Oh, yeah.
So you thought instantly of Jason and the way with the ladies? He's only dated one person his entire life. She's a catch. She's a 10. Yeah. I don't get it, but he has no experience with the ladies. He has experience with a lady and a fine-looking lady.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, he's not exactly dating expert Jason DeRussia.
No, I didn't. I mean, that makes me think even higher of Mean Gene, you know. I mean, who knew? Yeah. I mean, I was in the throes of the Hulk Hogan era.
Yeah.
And also, like, I did have some sort of prepubescent moments or with the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Sure.
Does anybody remember GLOW?
Oh, yeah.
The Farmer's Daughter? Come on.
Yeah. I think that's a different show you watch involving the Farmer's Daughter. Let's not get that confused.
That was the thing.
Did you ever watch the GLOW series with Alison Brie? Is that her name?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. 2007.
But I don't know anything about wrestling.
Not too far in the separation. Griffin is middle boy. I love him. He's melting down. I'm trying to just calm him down some way. Clicking the channels. Hey, what do you think of wrestling? And boom, that brought wrestling back into my life.
Fun. That's so fun to share that with the kids. You know what I mean?
Oh, Quentin is obsessed.
Yeah. I love it.
Obsessed with it. And there will be 45,000 people down here both nights.
It's going to be great.
Are you much of an Olivia Dean fan?
I love Olivia Dean.
I do, too. I was reminded, because I went to Tubbsy like about 45 minutes ago, who is Olivia Dean? And then I played a few of the songs. I'm like, oh, I like every one of these songs.
Yeah. Would you like to sing a little bit of...
That'll be on
the Man I Need right now?
That'll be the bonus show.
Yeah, that's good.
Later. Would you go to the show?
Oh, without a doubt.
I would, too.
Who's got tickets?
Dan Cook has tickets. Call in right now. He's got 50 pairs of tickets.
That'd be fun.
No, he does not.
Mumford & Sons this weekend. There's a lot going on this weekend.
I'm going to Stapleton tomorrow night. And I'm going to start driving right now, considering the traffic situation. I'm afraid.